Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another edition of Life Behind Bars. I'm your host, Noah Rothbaum, the Daily Beast Half Full editor. Joining me, as always, is my colleague, David Wondrick.
Howdy, and happy 2018.
Happy 2018 to you. This is a show perfectly suited for today, early January. Show all about New Year's resolutions. I know you are not a fan of resolutions, generally.
I have extremely weak willpower. So, and I tend to follow whatever is shiny. So resolutions usually last me anywhere between 6 to 9 hours before I somehow manage to break them.
So I assume you did not make any this year.
No, but I'm going to give it a try.
All right.
I'll try to come up with some.
Well, that's why we're here. It's sort of an intervention podcast episode where, you know, we're trying to come up with...
It's podcast therapy.
Exactly. Yeah. Collaboratively, we're trying to come up with resolutions that not only can we keep, but I think would actually maybe be good for the general drinking public.
I like the idea. Now, have you made some resolutions?
Nothing in particular, like try to work out more, you know, maybe, you know, be healthier, you know, nothing so specific.
I mean, usually I'll try, like, I'm not going to waste so much time this year. And then I end up wasting just as much time every year.
Right.
I've done the dry Januaries in the past, right, and those were interesting. And unfortunately, I can't do it this year because I've got some business travel, which involves a lot of partying and drinking and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And
a hazard of our profession.
Of the job, exactly. When I say business travel, everyone laughs. But,
but we should all be so fortunate to have that kind of business travel.
Yeah, exactly. That's the fun part of the job. Yeah. The other part is sitting there chained to the computer, ankle and wrist in your bunny slippers, trying desperately to make your deadline.
But squinting at microfiche.
Yeah, you know, exactly. All that stuff. But we don't talk about that stuff because it's much less fun.
You know, when we think about resolutions for, you know, drinking in bars, mm-hmm, I mean, I think there are ones that we can certainly make. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I think there's always ways, you know, where we can always get better in terms of, you know, the drinks that we're making at home or in bars or, you know, just the whole culture of cocktails and spirits.
Well, I mean, as a writer and somebody who covers cocktails and spirits, and I've been doing it for, at this point, it's getting to be almost a really long time.
Yeah.
I have one general resolution, and I'm going to try to keep it. You do something for a long time, and you've seen everything. You know, you've seen all the variations. They might come in slightly new dress.
If
but
not once, then twice. Sometimes.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, you're doing that again?
Right.
That's kind of old.
We tried that. It didn't
And meanwhile, you know, the people who are trying it now are, they're young, they're enthusiastic, right, et cetera. And I always end up, you know, kind of rolling my eyes and treating them like they're infants when I shouldn't do that. And I'm trying not to do that. I'm going to try not to do that.
Sure.
I'm going to try to be just a little more understanding and a little more tolerant.
And I think sometimes some of these things takes a few times for them to be perfected or to catch on.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of that they're not always easy to master in the first go around. So, you know, we've seen that sometimes with some of these, you know, either cocktail, you know, types of cocktails, mm-hmm, or types of bars where, you know, it takes a few tries and maybe some time and new perspective and maybe somebody who didn't see it the first time around to be bold enough to try it again.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, somebody manages to thread the needle and it's like, wow, that is a way of doing this that is actually new. I mean, some of the things that have, you know, that tend to peeve me are people reviving crappy drinks of the 1970s. And, you know, I hated those drinks back then and I'm not going to like them now,
right,
even if you switch out all the ingredients. And in which case it's not the drink, you're just, right, surfing on nostalgia with the title. I'm going to try to like let that go over my head a little bit this year. That's my resolution. I'm not going to snap at them quite so much.
I was going to say we're borderline breaking our first resolution.
Yeah, already. No, we've already broken.
We're already 30 seconds in.
Yeah.
But into this new year, a new perspective. But I hear you, and I think sometimes it's easy. You know, all this stuff is so cyclical. You know, and they come around, and I mean that's what's sort of fun about it is that things mutate and change, and you know, stuff comes here, and then it goes back to Europe, and then it comes back here. I mean, you've written about that, you know, obviously quite a bit for us.
Absolutely,
I think that you know a lot of the Italian cocktails are an interesting example of that.
Yeah, they started as an American idea. They went to Italy, then right. They kicked all around. Now you know they're back here, and now our versions are going back to Italy. And you go to Italy, and some bars are suddenly doing complicated, progressive takes on the Aperol Spritz, which they wouldn't have dreamed of doing 5 years ago, because the whole point is it's a simple drink that absolutely. You know that everybody has the same.
I think one of my resolutions, I mean, talking about Italy, my wife and I mean, not to date myself, but probably almost 10 years ago, we went to Rome, which is one of my favorite cities in the world. And I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to wander around.
You know,
just wherever, you know, wherever the day took us.
What's wrong with
know,
that?
No, it was the best. Yeah. We had, you know, a few things lined up, you know, I want to do a tour of the Forum, you know, and then, you know, we stayed in one hotel in the Borghese Gardens, like above. Near the villa, and then in the Hassler for like a night or two.
Oh, how very nice! Yeah,
which was lovely. And part of that experience, obviously, is going downstairs to the bar. You know, it's obviously at the top of the Spanish Steps. So, I mean, what a more historic and romantic spot! And you know, you go in, and it's this wood panel bar that goes back.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's something about a great European hotel bar that is just like sucker bait for me.
Oh,
you know,
oh for sure. I mean, it's built for us.
My foot starts twitching. It's like, where's the rail?
It's like a magnet pulling you from the,
oh my God.
From the airport.
I cannot walk by those things.
But you know, you sit down. You know, obviously, you know, the menu wasn't huge. You know, it's a lot of you know traditional cocktails, a lot of aperitivos. For this resolution, anyway, what we could learn from is also they sit down really nice bar snacks. Right?
Yes.
And I think a resolution, I mean, this may sound a little silly, but the sort of return of bar snack, right? Like, you know, that was a real tradition in America.
You know, in Italy, it still is. And I hear that people are making trends these days out of aperitivo bars, but I don't see people doing that part of it,
right?
Which is one of the most fun parts,
right?
Is you sit at a table, like you said, and they always bring you a dish of olives and a dish of potato chips.
Right.
And, you know, potato chips sounds real simple.
Right.
But who doesn't like a potato chip?
Maybe it's a feel of being almost like at, you know, a grandparent's, you know, house or something.
Yeah.
And you feel very, you know, suddenly this, you feel very welcome. And
you've got a little salty nibble in between your sips, you know, and it's
not bad
great.
To put something in your stomach in between drinks. You know, look, I'd be happy to pay for some of these things. You know what I mean? It doesn't always have to be free.
But I'd rather see it built into the cost of the drink so that I don't have the option. I'd rather have the snacks just
come. The bar PDT in New York, you know, Jim Meehan's, you know, sort of the proto-modern speakeasy.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's a lot to like there, but really one of my favorite parts is that you're getting a world-class drink and you can pair it with a delicious tater tot and cheese sauce from Crift Dogs next door.
And like, you can get a hot dog if you're hungry.
I was going to say, I mean, come on. Like, they make a delicious one, the Hummer, which is, it's a vegetarian one even.
Yeah.
I mean, it's delicious. You'd never even know. And the beauty of that is that hot dogs, the tater tots, the waffle fries come right through a hole connecting the two establishments. Really, what could be better? You're sitting there in a booth, cozy booth with friends, you know, loved ones, drinking delicious drinks, fine spirits. And eating tater tots and hot dogs.
You know, it's a beautiful thing. Because it's so simple, you're more likely to order it.
Right.
And, you know, the best food is the food you've got in front of you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be complicated.
No.
It just needs to be done well, which that is.
And if you really want fancy stuff, they also have all types of gourmet hot dogs, you know, that David Chang or Wiley Dufresne. Or
which is fine also. But you could just get a plain one.
Just get a plain one. Yeah. Absolutely fine. I'm not sure, like, if, you know, in the recesses of Jim's mind, you know, tapping into his Midwestern roots, he kind of knew that there was something about kind of idea of hospitality when somebody's at your house, at your bar, you want to give them drink, but also something to eat, too. I mean, that's, you know, feeding them is essential.
I mean, this kind of taps into another one of my resolutions. You know, it's been a rough year and a few months in America, and there's been a lot of
I think that sums it up. A lot of people
yep. kind of angry with each yep. other very much. And you know, I live here in New York, and that's, you know, some people will call me a liberal libtard snowflake living in a bubble. You know, I get that on Twitter sometimes and social media. But on the other hand, you know, one of my resolutions is to just keep going to the American heartland. You know, I really have always enjoyed my time in the Midwest and the Central Mountain West, et cetera. I don't care who they voted for in some of these places. I just really like to go and visit. And I like the people on the ground are invariably nicer than they are on social media, you know, and people can get along.
I think that's
in
a rule
person.
In general about everything.
Yeah. And so one of my resolutions is to keep that up. I always try to go to as many American cities as I can. You know, last year I was in Milwaukee, for instance, which I love. And, you know, I try to get out when possible into the smaller towns around. Many of these cities are just full of interesting people and lively culture and local food and local bars, old bars, new bars.
And I think that also informs, you know, about what you write. I mean, you did a great column right before Christmas or Christmas Eve on, I'm afraid to even pronounce it. I think I'm pronouncing it wrong, but the traditional.
Oh, Krupnikas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's more, I guess, more famous if at least in Pennsylvania, Boilo. This is a day of interesting named drinks. But those types of things where I think a lot of that stuff, you know, we get a lot of news and stories about what's happening in New York, San Francisco, LA, Miami, whatever. But there's fascinating stories, you know, from places Pennsylvania and all of these towns, wherever it is, and traditional drinks and cocktail recipes and lore. And I think that's in some ways maybe the next trend to sort of tap some of these, you know, areas.
I think people are doing that. Yeah. And I'm all for that. You know, I'm all for, I mean, a lot of those are ethnic traditions from immigrant groups and others. You know, some of the drinks I'm not too thrilled with. I do not love a Colorado Bulldog. I'll tell you
that
much.
What is that?
Okay, that's Coca-Cola, vodka, cream, and Kahlua on the rocks.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's a White Russian with Coca-Cola in it. It's not.
I'm just gonna say maybe this is me being a liberal snob, but I would probably put Dr. Pepper in.
Clever,
Mr. Pig.
Yeah, oh, mixology.
I don't know. You've abandoned. You've washed your hands.
That kind of drink in general, I'm not hugely, you know, hugely amused with. But I don't drink that kind of thing.
I'm just
at home
glad
either.
It doesn't have Rocky Mountain oysters in it. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Oh no, that would be quite a drink. There are other drinks like that I'm not thrilled with. But on the other hand,
you know what? If I knew, like, the next time I'm in Colorado, I'm definitely going to find that.
Curious. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's like, you know, I don't really like Malort, to be honest.
No.
You know, which traditional Chicago, very, very bitter liqueur in the kind of Jägermeister, Fernet Branca, but
with no sugar at all.
Way less palatable. I mean, if you thought Jäger Fernet, you know, was hard to keep down, you should definitely not try Malort. You know, that Malort face where people it's, you know.
It's a cross between horror, disgust, and shock, I think.
Puckering of your whole head, not just your lips.
Yeah.
But you know
and
what?
A little bit of your soul, too.
But you know what? Every time I'm in Chicago, like, I got to have a little bit. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'll order a shot. I'm not going to take down the whole shot, certainly, but a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm with somebody who says shots of Malort, am I going to drink shots of Malort? Yes,
right.
I am.
The whole shot.
Yeah, I'll drink the whole shot all at once.
I'm hurting already right
now.
Yeah,
no, it's
maybe
rough.
You're right. Maybe the whole shot would be better than a little bit.
Well, at least you get the alcohol to numb you. But I mean, in general, like drinks like that, am I going to drink them at home here in New York? No.
But I would say that in some ways is a resolution for me is that like wherever you are, I mean, and whatever the local thing is, like I want to try it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that's a good resolution for all of us instead of when you travel, you know, sticking to the familiar drinks or food, like try the local stuff.
Try,
you know, I mean, as you know, it's kind of funny because in a lot of these towns there are now very, very good cocktail bars making very good craft drinks. But in some ways, you know, I want to go there, but I also want to go to the place that's going to, you know, serve me, you know, a Miller High Life and a shot of Malort on the side.
Yeah, I always try to go to the bars that are the old kind of classic bars in whatever town I'm in. You know, one of the things that I do is I always try to find out the oldest bar in town and go there. You know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter if it's been ruined. It doesn't matter if it's, but it's still, it's the oldest bar in town. You know, go see what they're doing there. And then, you know, you can go to the hipster places.
I mean, it's a surprising range of establishments.
Oh, yeah.
From super fancy to, you know, super dive bars to, I mean, while we're in Colorado, have you ever been to the Buckhorn Exchange in
Denver? Hell yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that place is amazing. It's,
and, you know, I ate a plate of Rocky Mountain oysters too, which would I eat that normally? Right. No.
Sure. I mean, I remember going you know, having drinks with my friend Rob Dietrich from Granahan's Master Distillery, Max Watt, and some other folks. And, you know, walk in, they're like, oh, your party's behind the grizzly bear upstairs. They're like, what?
Yeah. Okay.
I'll look. And sure enough, there's.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Giant grizzly bear.
There's a grizzly bear.
And the table is right behind. Yeah. You know, it's.
And the bar goes back, you know, it's well over 100 years.
I think it's the first license for to serve alcohol in the state of Colorado or Denver. So it definitely goes back.
I mean, there's that's always worthwhile.
Well, I did not expect that. You know, I mean, I expected more of, you know, I don't know, like a Keen's or, you know.
More clubby.
Clubby or.
I mean, the place is full of Western memorabilia. There's guns all over the damn place. there's game. But it's kind of like low key and extremely pleasant. It's not for millionaires.
That is kind of a fun thing to do in every town. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes, you know, especially what you and I do, we find ourselves with a free afternoon in a random place sometimes. And that's kind of a great way to spend the afternoon. Whenever you're in a different town, different city, it's always interesting to, you know, for a couple of hours instead of crashing in the hotel, I always try to challenge myself to find something.
Yeah. Go
museum,
out. Go take a walk.
Store or something. Yeah. Concert. Park, anything to kind of, and that's where you really get a sense of a town and what the people are like.
When I'm abroad in Europe in particular, my favorite thing to do is just find a cafe on a square and go sit and watch people go by for a while. Just see who lives here.
Yeah.
Who are these people? Just observe, you know?
I spent almost a week doing that in Prague. It was great. You just go from cafe to cafe and just sit there with a book you may or may not read. And just think and sip coffee and get a very, very strong buzz on and, you know, just have a great afternoon. That is a good resolution, I think, for people. And one that certainly is easy to keep.
Another one that I've got is when this whole cocktail revolution started, I used to make a lot of things, you know, and try to do complicated drinks and make them all. And I've kind of gotten lazy.
Right.
And I want to make more things again.
Going back.
Yeah, I'd be a little less lazy about things. And
are you announcing here on our podcast the launch of Dr. Wondrich's Bitters and...
Bitters and Beard Oil.
Yes. Beard Oil? Vapors and Epsom salts?
Yeah, exactly. It's both smelling salts and useful for rimming a glass.
Right, exactly. I mean...
Hey, you never know.
Put me down for a case. Yeah. I'll buy it. I'll buy the first bottle.
But I used to do things like... buy Szechuan peppercorns, soak it in vodka, and then run it through a pot still, a little mini pot still.
Yeah. What came out?
A really banging Szechuan peppercorn liqueur that actually made your lips numb.
Wow.
Because it turns out the essential active factor in Szechuan peppercorns, which make your mouth tingle and kind of like pop rocks, the active thing goes through the still.
Huh.
So at least it did in my little pot still.
Right.
And I was very surprised.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like that. I'd like to do more experiments this year than last year.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah. Just be a little more DIY.
Yeah. Well, I think also professionally for us is maybe looking further afield, you know, yeah. Like we've definitely tapped like all the cocktail books. I think it was Wayne Curtis who wrote this in one of his stories about sort of chasing some of these lost cocktail and spirits books that are still out there, like yeah. The White Whales.
Yeah, there are very few, but there are a few.
And, you know, obviously Gary Thomas's second book. If anybody has one out there, please let us know. Yeah,
send me a, you can DM me on Twitter.
send Dave a 911 on his pager,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, please.
You know, but he also said that, you know, a lot of it will come from other types of, you know, the new discoveries will come from other types of books, whether it's old travel books, old food books, cookbooks, whatever it is. And I think, you know, to be honest, I mean, that's some of the best stories that I've written or, you know, enjoyed, you know, researching, you know, involve stuff from, you know, outside the traditional canon.
I mean, my library is full of cocktail books, but I have way more travel books than I have cocktail books.
You're the prime example, I think, of the benefits of reading outside the canon. I don't think you could write half the stories you do.
Well, what one I did last year was on Batavia Arak,
yeah,
which was you know, this spirit from Indonesia via Holland and that goes back to the early 1600s, and the research for that was reading all the accounts of Dutch travelers and in Indonesia in the 1600s and English travelers and all that kind of stuff, because there's nothing else, you right. know, there's no big book of Batavia Arak.
I know. No.
there's no sources. Yeah. So I mean, that's always a good year round resolution is just keep your neck swiveling, you know?
Yeah.
Look as far afield as you can for sources. You'd be surprised where you find things.
Yeah, it's true. In the least expected places when mm-hmm. you're, you know, you're in a museum, you're somewhere else and you find something and pieces connect and suddenly you have that eureka moment for a story or an epiphany.
Well, I was just researching something about Dutch gin, about Geneva, and I found the greatest rundown of traditional Geneva production, not in a Dutch book. It was in the testimony before the British Royal Commission on Spirits and on whiskey and other potable spirits taken in 1908 and 1909. And they had Herman Janssen, head of the Schiedam Distillers Guild, testify about how they made their gin in Holland in great detail. What that was doing in a whiskey book, you know.
Who knows?
Who knows? But it was there. And so that kind of thing is always very useful, is look far afield.
I mean, we touched on it a little bit before, but I think embracing hospitality, I mean, it sounds sort of ridiculous, but sometimes we get so focused on perfecting the perfect drink. And I think some restaurants do for food as well, where we sort of forget that it's the whole thing is hospitality. You know what I mean? It's not actually just what's in the glass or on the plate, but the whole experience. And, you know, some of my favorite restaurants or bars, I mean, the drinks maybe aren't the best in the world or the food isn't world class, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Those are the places that you keep going back to.
If I were working a regular bar gig, one of my resolutions this year would be to learn more jokes.
Right.
You know,
well, right. I mean, what was the last time the bartender told you a joke?
The other day. It was Del Pedro. I'm not going to repeat it here because it's a little smutty. Sure. But it's damned amusing. And
to be fair, I mean, I think, you know, Del is sort of old school. Doesn't even classify what his style of bartending is. I mean,
he's a real bartender. Yeah. He's a bartender's bartender.
Yeah,
you know, he tends bar
and a real throwback and kind of, you know, making sure that everybody is happy and or at least satisfied. And,
you know, he's a fun and amusing character, lively, smart. But that liveliness is what I like to see. I hate to see young bartenders standing on their dignity. You know, they're too young to have dignity. They should have life. You know, get the dignity later. You know, don't worry about it now.
Yeah, we're driving each other crazy to make the perfect drinks. You know, and it's so counter to, you know, what a bar should be, where it should be fun.
I mean, you should know how to mix things properly.
Absolutely.
You know, you should be a master of your technique, but don't let the technique define you. That's a hard lesson to learn.
I think it comes with, you know, maturity and a certain level of comfort. And hopefully, you know, now that we're in our, I guess, the third decade of the rebirth of the cocktail,
right.
I mean, there's some kind of like PhD terminology here, the third wave. hopefully, you know, some of these bartenders, you know, have put in enough years where they kind of have.
Oh, there are many who are kind of getting out into the more the yeah. I can relax now. And,
exactly.
And
I'm confident that my drinks are world yeah, class. And
I don't have to worry about this.
Yeah, and I don't need to blow you away with.
You know, I think of when in my early 20s, I was a rock and roll musician. And I think back then, and the best musicians I know were never stars. You know, they were technicians. They were really good musicians. But the people who became stars were the ones who were good enough musicians. But on top of that, they had charisma and personality and, you know, could make a connection with people. You know, they weren't maybe the best bass player. Yeah. And they couldn't, you know, throw down in every key and you know, run their fingers up and down the fretboard at right lightning speed, you know, popping notes off like machine gun fire. But they could hold a beat and, you know, come up with a catchy line and at the same time make a connection with the audience standing in front of them. And that's always worth remembering. It's really, I mean, skill is one thing and skill is important. But it's also, you need that connection.
It's an interesting thing. In September, I got to go down to the Bourbon Beyond Festival in Louisville, and there's a whole slate of top musicians. And I was talking to Amos Lee, the musician, mostly about his love for gin and St. Mm-hmm. George gin in particular, which, you know, I respect. But we started talking about, you know, just him and, like, you know, his career. And,
right.
And part of it was he's become more successful once. He sort of realized that he needed to bring, like, kind of a certain type of energy to the stage, right? Like, you just couldn't show up and expect the crowd to, like, be, like, you know, all into it. Like, he had to come with a certain type of energy and really engage the audience for him to put out that energy and for them to kind of send it back to him on the stage. And it's just a beautiful circle of, you know, of energy. And those are the best concerts. And I think it took a while for him to realize that. I mean, like a lot of musicians, I think. The analogy is kind of like a bar too, where, you know, you're the bartender, it is your stage, whether it's the home bar or a professional bar, and you're creating a certain level, an ambiance, you know, a certain level of enjoyment, you know, a certain level of energy for everybody. And that hopefully will come back to you from your guests.
Yeah. I mean, the worst thing you could see is a bartender sticking their head down and just mixing the drinks and sliding them across the bar, you know, and they might be stressed. They might be too busy, but never too busy to at least look at your customers.
I think for me, it's the difference between making drinks and cooking, right? Like,
absolutely.
Drinks, like, I can make drinks and carry on conversation. And, you know, and I know what drinks I can get away making for a crowd and still, you know. Mm-hmm. Cooking, though, like, takes, you know, total focus for me. So, like, you know, it's a real effort for me to, like, if I have to cook while people are there,
to
not be surly because I'm so focused on the task at hand, and to look up and smile and engage. You know,
where
I have extreme respect for people who, you know, are so confident, and, you know, have, you know, or so experienced in the kitchen where they can just, you know, they don't, their hands are moving and they can just keep on a conversation and the food is delicious and, you know, wonderful, and, you know, they can be fully engaged in a conversation and also fully engaged in cooking. And for me, it's like playing an instrument. I, you know, it's like total, you know,
total focus
or knitting.
Yeah.
like I can't see anything else, I can't hear anything else.
And it depends if I'm following a recipe. If it's something I've made so many times I don't need a recipe, that's one thing. But if I'm following a recipe, forget it.
I think in the new year, trying to be, for me anywhere, talking about resolutions, trying to be a little bit more of a social cook than a focus cook. That's the secret is that's why I like to get all the cooking done before anybody shows
there
up.
You go.
That way I can just do it and nobody sees it.
The same with, like, making punch for a party. You know, the punch is made. You can talk to people all you want.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's something you quickly realize making a 4, 5, 6, 7 ingredient drink all the menu. For everybody, you know, isn't really going to work.
You could do it sometimes, but you got to be practiced, you know. Sometimes for groups of people, I'll make New York sours, which is, a whiskey sour with a float of red wine.
Right.
But I'll have, like, all my mise en place ready for that.
Exactly.
And I'll go over the steps before I start.
You and I both have large shakers, large stirring, you know, vessels so that you can make bunch of drinks.
That's how you prepare this stuff in advance. You know, either you do it with the equipment or you batch the drink. There are many ways of doing it.
The 50s, 60s, I think people 40s even before, you know, the Depression, people took the art of hosting parties seriously. You know, like, they were all, you know, all those old Esquire books, you know, all are about hospitality.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
the handbook for hosts.
Right. Come on. It's, you know, it's a lot, you know, every aspect of, of being a host is examined.
Yeah.
Not just the food and the drink, but all types of things.
Yeah, party games, various, you know.
Yeah, and even, you know, Trader Vic's books, you know, there's a lot on, you know, how to be the perfect host.
Oh, Trader Vic, one of them, he tells you how to build a huge chimney barbecue out of bricks for your backyard, I mean, which is very tempting.
Right. I mean, it's amazing. So, I mean, it's something that I, you know, we've sort of forgotten and have steadily been learning, you know, especially over the last 20 years intensively.
True.
I think that's a good resolution for all of us to be more hospitable and practice the art of hospitality and throw more parties.
That's was going to be my final one, is I'm going to have more cocktail parties this year. You know, last year I was so shell-shocked by everything, but this year I'm going to have some cocktail parties.
Yeah. Part of what you were talking about, the divisions in our culture and society and in our country, that, you know, we'll do what Americans have always done since the founding of this country.
Yeah.
We'll mend our fences and our friendships over big bowls of punch and strong cocktails.
Well, you know, we should go to Columbus, Ohio, and throw a huge cocktail party.
That would be amazing.
On the Daily Beast.
Right. Well, I mean, what better way to bring
there
that?
You go.
We'll go from city to city with a giant cocktail party.
Yeah.
And I'm sure by
come
the
on
end,
down and talk to us.
The goodwill will hopefully,
hopefully
will be spread like punk. Well, here's to 2018.
Here's to 2018.
Maybe a good year for you.
And to you. And to all of you guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.